Well, Palm Sunday has always been one of my favorite Sundays in the whole church year. Growing up in church, I remember the Palm Sunday parade when all of the kids gathered in the narthex outside the sanctuary, and we were all given tambourines, so it was very hard to be quiet. And we all sat there and waited for the appointed time when my father would open the back doors to the sanctuary and blow the shofar, the ram's horn. And we would all process down the aisles, waving our palms, beating our tambourines arrhythmically to "Prepare Ye the Way of the Lord" by Stephen Schwartz from that musical Godspell. I love a parade, and I loved that time. It was loud, it was a celebration, it was joyous. So let's hear the description of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem on that joyous parade from the earliest gospel writer, Mark, from chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. The Greek is translated into English this way: "Listen for God's word for you this morning. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, 'Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, "Why are you doing this?" just say this: "The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately." And they went away, and they found a colt tied near a door outside the street. And as they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. And then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." When he had entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, in January of 2023, I had the opportunity to travel to Israel, Palestine, with a group from Austin Seminary and Congregation Agudas Akim, which was the conservative Jewish congregation in Austin. Now, I remember walking that steep path down from the Mount of Olives. It's not wide. It's not straight. It winds back and forth as it drops. It turns back on itself, and you descend farther than you think down into the Kidron Valley. And just when you think that you have arrived, you realize that you have to climb up a steep incline to enter into the city of Jerusalem. That was the road that Jesus took into Jerusalem for the Passover festival. But it was not the only road leading into the city. There were two processions entering Jerusalem during Passover, one from the east and one from the west. Both heading toward the same city, both proclaiming very different versions of what power looks like. From the west came the empire, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, traveling from Caesarea by the sea, 60 miles to the northwest of Jerusalem. 3, maybe 4 days of traveling, and he did not travel alone. With him came soldiers, hundreds of them, infantry in formation, cavalry mounted on war horses, armor catching the sunlight, banners lifted high and the eagle of Rome overhead. They traveled along Roman roads, wide and straight, engineered for strength, direct and elevated and unyielding. This was not just a journey, it was a message that Rome was here, that Rome was watching, that Rome was in control. And from the east comes Jesus. Not from a capital, not from a palace, from a hillside, down that winding road, into the valley and back up again. Not on a war horse, but a borrowed colt. Surrounded not by soldiers, but by ordinary people, laying down their cloaks on the ground, waving their branches cut from the fields. From the west, the sound of marching feet, the beating of drums, the clink of metal, the snorting of horses, a visible display of power. A reminder, especially during Passover, a festival celebrating the liberation of the Jewish people from imperial control, that resistance would not be tolerated. That is what Rome called peace, the Pax Romana, peace through strength, peace through control, peace enforced by the sword. From the east, the sound is different. No marching cadence, no armor, just voices, people pressing in, people hoping, people singing out together, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. From the west, people step aside. Some show support, some just bow their heads, some watch on silently. From the east, people come together, drawn closer. They don't have power, they don't have status, but they showed up. They follow, they celebrate, and they hope. And both processions enter into the same city at the same time for the same festival, a city filled with people remembering a God who delivered them from empire now occupied by an empire. One procession proclaims the power of that empire. The other proclaims the kingdom of God. One rides in on strength. The other comes through the valley. One depends on fear. The other stirs hope. Rome believed it was bringing peace through control, but Jesus embodies peace through justice and mercy and humility. And those two parades are not kept in the pages of our scripture. They still move through our world today. They still pass us by each and every day. They still ask for our allegiance. And sometimes the line between these two parades can seem blurred, because we hear voices, Christian voices, invoking scripture to bless violence, to justify war, to call it necessary, even righteous. And yet the witness of the church has long been different. That bombs do not create peace, that violence does not lead to the kingdom, that when war comes, it is always the most vulnerable who bear the weight through loss and displacement and fear. And so the call of our church again and again and again has been to seek another way, a way shaped not by domination, but by diplomacy, not escalation, but by restraint, not by destruction, but by hard, holy work of peace. Which brings us back to that road. Which parade will we join? The one that trusts in force or the one that walks in mercy? The one that answers harm with retribution or the one that seeks reconciliation? The one that divides the world into allies and enemies or the one that longs for unity, not uniformity? This is not a question just for our nations, you all. This is a question for us. It is a question that we answer in our homes every day, in the places where we work, in our conversations, in the ways that we speak to others that we do not agree with, in how we respond when we are hurt, in how we use whatever power we have. Every day we step into one procession or the other, because the parade of empire is always recruiting. It's always promising security. It's always promising certainty. It promises victory. It tells us that strength comes through control, that peace comes through dominance, that safety comes through exclusion. And the parade of Christ is also always inviting. It invites us to trust that mercy is not weakness, that humility is not defeat, that justice is not naive, that love is not powerless. It invites us to believe that the way of Jesus, the way that passes through the valley, is still the way that leads to life. The crowd cries, "Hosanna, save us." But salvation does not come from the powers that demand allegiance through fear. Salvation comes from the one who enters without violence, who refuses domination, who embodies a kingdom where peace is not enforced but cultivated. So today the question is not simply what we believe, but it is where do we stand? Which parade will shape our lives? Which vision of power will guide us? Which kingdom will form our hearts? Because the truth is that we do not choose just once. We choose again and again and again every single day. We choose when we practice compassion instead of contempt. We choose when we listen instead of dismiss. We choose when we work for justice instead of subtle complicity in our complacency. We choose when we refuse to let fear have the final word. And every time we choose mercy, every time we choose humility, every time we choose hope, we step more deeply into that procession with Christ. I keep thinking about that road, that one that winds down from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, into the valley, and then only afterwards rises to the city. And it makes me think that before Jesus enters Jerusalem, he descends. And maybe that is where our discipleship begins. Not with triumph, but with trust. Not with domination, but with love. Not with certainty, but with faith. Because the good news on this fifth Sunday of Lent is that the kingdom does not arrive through the power of empire. It grows wherever and whenever people choose to follow Christ in that holy procession. So the question remains for us on this Palm Sunday: which parade will you choose? Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for that procession long ago, for the parade that did not display power through force, but revealed a different path to peace. a different vision of power, a different kind of kingdom. We thank you for the one who entered the city in humility, who showed us that mercy is stronger than fear, that justice is deeper than domination, that love is more enduring than violence. And we give thanks that this story is not finished, that you still invite us to participate in the building of your kingdom, a kingdom shaped by mercy and justice, forgiveness, reconciliation, and love. Gather us together in courage and in hope. Call us into the procession of your peace. Form our lives so that step by step we may follow Christ's way and join in the work of healing this world. We pray in the spirit of the one who comes to save. Hosanna. Amen.